Hey, everybody. As the co-host of your Chillpack Hollywood Hour, it's always delightful to shoot the transatlantic breeze with the UK Midweek Drive team. Together, we aim to provide the best possible audio backdrop for political sanity in the 21st century. This is Phil Lairness, reporting from the middle ground between science and superstition. And you have entered the podcast zone.
Keep it real, trust yourself and let it be. Only heaven knows. Find the lock that fits the key. Unlock the truth to set you free. Only heaven knows. Above the clouds, tell me what.
Then Butterfly, second airing as far as the Midweek Drive Morning Edition is actually concerned, and indeed the Midweek Drive per se. So let's turn straight away to Jessica Burtis. I know you're a big Chloe Rose fan. What did you make of her latest single, newly released, newly minted, released actually on the 5th of November? What are your thoughts on Butterfly, Jessica?
It is beautiful. Everything that Chloe writes is beautiful. And this song has such a light, airy kind of sound to it. It's something that I feel like you could just listen to in the summer, which is nice because, you know, it's starting to get colder. The days are turning darker. So I think that having a song like that, it's refreshing. So I really enjoyed it. And I saw the music video online, too, that she posted, which was beautiful. I love the kind of like the use of baptism to kind of deal with the transformative nature of a word like butterfly. And the song just sounds very like light and airy, just like a butterfly. So Chloe doesn't ever do anything wrong or bad with her music, and this is just as good as the rest.
Well, there we are. It's thumbs up from our North Carolina correspondent, currently based in Ireland, Jessica Burtis. But we've got another Jessica with us, but we're referring to her as Jessie this time around. She's a level one student at the University of Lincoln, where she's reading journalism. She's making her debut on the Midweek Drive. So we say a hearty hello to Jessie Perkins. How are you, Jessie?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
Excellent. Okay, so you've heard Jessica's views. This is your first time. We're throwing it in the deep end. What did you make of Chloe Rose's little number, Butterfly?
I also thought it was brilliant. I thought it was the sort of music that you could listen to where you just relax in. It really gave me the vibe of like when you're like a Sunday afternoon, Jen. It's like, I think, unlike you said that it's quite summery, I think it's quite suitable for autumn because it would, you know, because it's quite gentle. It reminded me of like leaves falling down and things like that and curling up in front of the fire. And especially because it's quite a romantic song, I think it sort of gives off that mood as well. So yeah, I thought it was brilliant.
It's thumbs up, obviously. You may be interested because normally I say when we do these little reveals, we actually have the singer-songwriter with us from this perspective. Chloe's having no end of sort of challenges. She said she's trying to get on the link, not sure how to get on, as it won't let her paste the link into Google. I'll try and actually send her another link through. It's adds to this the fact that Pamela Sue Mann is somewhere in transit heading through the New York scenario. It's all adding to the live wonderment of the whole thing. So, Jessica, I'm going to ask you to throw a few questions at Jessie, actually, whilst I start coordinating things with respect to Chloe. Why don't you actually quiz her on what life is like now that we're pretty much seeing each other face to face? Although, to be fair to Jessie, I did do an online tutorial with her earlier today. Anyway, over to you, Jessica.
That's actually what I was thinking about. I'm very curious about how, you know, school has been for you since this, I guess, the first semester that everything's kind of coming out of the pandemic. We're transforming just like a butterfly. It connects. So, you know, I'm curious about how you've been finding it.
I think it's great. I think personally, I know people quite a lot of people are quite wary of the situation and being back in person. But I think it's brilliant. I think you don't really get to know people unless you're face to face with them. And it's allowed people to connect more with the tutors. It has me in particular. Like, I feel like I know my classmates. And if I wasn't in person, I don't think I would, because I was communicating with them before on like group chats and stuff before we even started. But being in person and being able to bounce ideas off each other and have that sort of banter just makes everything a bit better. That's what I think.
I agree. Yeah, I spent my last year of university completely online, and it felt so different. I miss being in person. Are you enjoying Lincoln by chance? Because I miss it a lot.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. I love the city. I like how it's small, but it's just big enough to find different things around every corner when you go exploring. Mm-hmm. I like everything about it, really. I can walk everywhere from where I'm based. Everything's pretty easy to find. And I actually like going up Steep Hill as well, believe it or not. I like the shops around. And it's not as steep as I thought it was going to be. So, yeah.
And are a lot of people wearing masks still in Lincoln, or has it kind of eased up a bit? Do you know?
In the university, they are. So in like lectures or the lecturers and seminars and things like, people wear them less in seminars, I think, because there's not as many people. But lectures, people tend to wear them a lot, especially the lecturers there. I think it's like a mandate still from the university to wear a mask. But out and about, I've just seen sort of like what you see everywhere else. It's similar to the situation where I'm from, which is like near Newark and Nottingham Way. That is sort of 50-50. Some people are and some people aren't. So, yeah.
And are you in Alex's class?
I'm not, actually. I didn't know who Alex was until our first tutor meeting. Who's that? I have not seen his name mentioned anywhere. So, yeah.
Who is this strange person who happens to be a tutor?
I know. I was like, who have I been talking to?
If she takes histories of journalism, she may actually sort of encounter me in the second year. Who knows? Who knows? That's the key thing. And the mask wearing thing is obviously something which is an advisory. Jesse, we have to point out we don't have the legal rights to enforce mask wearing. We just have to demonstrate it. But there we are. That's part and parcel of the whole thing. Let's do a sort of scoring thing for Butterfly, because I want to move on to thoughts on COP26 as well. Jessica, what would you give it out of 10 in terms of scoring Chloe Rose and Butterfly?
I think, well, I have to give Chloe a 10 because it's Chloe. She always does great. And I will send this song to my mom because I think she might like it. She does gardening and things like that. So I think it'd be a good gardening song. And all of Chloe's old music is a 10 as well, because it's something you can just listen to over and over. I feel like her songs don't ever get boring. So she always gets a high score.
Well, there we are. That sums up. And Jesse, it's your first time that we've actually put you on the spot in terms of a judgment scenario from this point of view. What would your score be for Chloe's Butterfly?
No pressure at all then. But yeah, but I'm on the complete opposite end of the scale from you, Jessica, because I've not listened to any of her music before. And it's a lot different to the things that I normally listen to. But I'd say it was up there. I'd give it a solid 8.5. I think that's a valid decision.
Very much so. Original song, of course, True Love and Lungs were named tracks of the week on several radio stations. Golden Dreams, one of her early numbers, was awarded Best Original Song at Open Mic UK. And indeed, of course, we mustn't mention that she does co-write quite a lot with her songwriting partner, of course, that's Harry David. Always important to actually give Harry a mention. Hasn't actually sort of made an appearance on the Midweek Drivers yet, probably because Chloe keeps her in the background, like sort of kept in a cupboard, locked away somewhere and sort of wheeled out. And as she's not on the call, she can't review that. So there we are. Released, of course, it's out now. You can actually get it there in time for Christmas, although Butterflies aren't really around in this particular season. Although, as Jessica's rightly said, it does actually have the opportunity of being a useful gardening song. Does your mum do much gardening at this time of the year, Jessica?
She does, because we have hollies and things like that. We have a lot of like evergreen plants. We have a lot of hollies, so they look beautiful in the winter, but they do need a lot of frequent trimming. But she's I don't have the green thumb. I kill everything. I have one cactus that I haven't managed to kill yet, but I'm so bad at it. But she makes it look nice.
Well, you know, if you can keep a cactus going, that's the important thing. That's all we have to say. So let's talk gardening, and let's talk the wonders of the Coalition of Parties conference that is obviously will have wrapped by the time. Obviously, if you're listening to this via Siren Radio 107.3 FM, probably on a Thursday morning, you will probably think, well, that's actually gone. But if you're downloading it as a podcast, you'll say, yes, it's still current. Jessica, you're closer to Glasgow than we are in Lincoln. So what are your thoughts on how the conference has actually gone? Do you think it's there? Do you think it's working? Are you happy, or are you going to take the line of Greta Thunberg and say it's just a PR exercise for the northern global people?
Well, I was actually I have TikTok. I don't make them, but I do watch people. And one of the people that I watched, she was actually going there to this this conference, and she's from the US. I don't know. Whenever I see, I like that there's discussion, but I feel like I want to hear, I feel like I just never hear about it after. I feel like when there is like conference or meeting or something going on, people love to talk about it and they love to talk about, you know, the environment, but, and it, which is great, but then I feel like it kind of fizzles out a bit in excitement after. And I'd like to see more of a follow through. I feel like there's just so many different issues that could be discussed. It's hard to just have it all in like one conversation, probably one conference, but it's nice that there's talk. So I guess
better to talk than hurling bombs at each other. But then again, that's for another conference, presumably. In terms of what's coming up in this particular program, we'll be speaking to Audi. Yes, Audi, the car manufacturer, who in fact they've decided they're going to be completely green by 2023. They're doing away in the last official official engines that they've been using, which are not electric, will be going out as far as the wonders of 2026. But that's still to come. And Jesse, from your own point of view, any thoughts from your own perspective? Have you found it useful? Have you found it impressive? What's your kind of overall connectivity?
With COP26 or with my...
COP26.
I personally think, similar to what Jessica said, there's a lot of talk about the situation and not a lot of things we've done about it. Mm. So hopefully this will be different because it's been hyped up a lot. And hopefully this will be the time where people are actually making some sort of change instead of talking about making change, because everyone's getting sick of it, really.
Well. Who knows? It's another routine now. Chloe, as you may have just heard, dear listener, has made her entrance. Clearly, she's decided these days, Jessica, to actually sort of just leave it until late, leave it until the decision's been made, until the song's been played, until we've made all the things with respect to Butterfly. I mean, Chloe, what can I say? I mean, Jessica and Jesse, I mean, really, what they said about your particular track, I mean, it doesn't bear repeating, does it, really? It's okay. You can listen again. It's passed the test. Welcome to the program. Congratulations on another track that's come through. Please, you managed to finally get the connection going. How are you?
Definitely. I'm very well. Just busy with teaching and music.
Good. Excellent. Because this is what I didn't actually reveal. Of course, these days, as well as doing the music, with A Course Harry, it's all right. Don't worry, Chloe. We're giving him a full plug. We know that basically you keep them in a cupboard and only wheel them out when appropriate for the particular songs. Jessica, any questions you'd like to put to Chloe? And hopefully, with a little bit of judicious editing, she'll be able to answer them at the same sort of time and in some kind of synchronicity. So over to you, Jessica.
So I'd just like to know what inspired the name Butterfly and why you chose that as a symbol in your song.
See the butterfly stretch. That's fine. Strangely enough, there was a picture of a butterfly on the frame, on a picture frame, when I was writing the song with Harry, and I see the butterfly as a form of transformation. You know, like it starts off and it's a little cocoon and then it gets bigger and it wakes up and, you know, grows to be this beautiful colour and have wings. It was sort of the same way of saying learn to be. So, yeah, that's what it symbolises to me, that transformation as a person and being yourself and, you know, smiling and just going for it. I don't know.
Little did we realise, of course, Chloe, that you would actually move and migrate from what was normally sort of fairly good, solid connections as far as these shows to being almost as though you're on Mars, different planet with respect to actually connectivity. But never mind. I mean, on the reverse of the whole thing, I introduce you to Jessie. Jessie, who is equally far out there. I mean, you're in Cleethorpes. Jessie, when she's not actually studying in Lincoln, is actually on the Newark-Nottinghamshire border. It's even further afield. I mean, these are sort of very strange, beyond the pale systems. Anyway, Jessie, what questions would you like to put to Chloe about the track Butterfly, or indeed life in general?
So I was similar to what Jessica said, but what was the actual inspiration behind the song and behind the music? Was there anything in particular, or were you just inspired to write something out of the blue?
Yeah, I just wanted to write a song that would make people feel good, that would make people believe in themselves and think, you know, whatever happens, there's testing times. I know we've had COVID and everything, and I just thought, you know, whatever we've faced, we've just got to keep going, keep believing in ourselves and you know, just, yeah, push on through, really. And it was kind of inspired by that. And just, I wanted to write something that would make people feel good. And that was the main aim of that song, really. So I hope it's achieved that. If it hasn't, well, that's the way it is. But if it has, then that's awesome.
So would you say it's sort of been like a love story to yourself then, like a love song to yourself? Because it's sort of, as you said, it's helping people to get through tough times.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's maybe it's like a self-love song for like people to believe in themselves, love, you know, learn to love themselves, learn to accept themselves for who they are. Because, I mean, I'm 29 years old and it's took me a long time and I'm, you know, I still struggle. We all need self-care. We all need to believe in ourselves. And, you know, these things happen. And, yeah, and I guess it was that, just saying, you know, don't give up on yourself, keep going, basically.
And interestingly enough, of course, as Jessica will actually confirm, were Chloe actually in the 23rd century in the world of Logan's Run, she wouldn't have much longer to go before she'd have to go through Carousel. So it's important. I mean, when you reach 29, it's borderline, you know, lots of strange, weird things can happen there. What the heck? I think it's fair to say, actually, you're a fan of Chloe, Jessica. Is that so from what you said earlier?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I went to YouTube. I gave the video a like. I was liking all your Instagram posts about it. I was so excited. I knew when I saw you posting on Instagram, I was like, Alex is going to have this on the show at some point. We have Butterfly on here.
Oh, no, it did take some time. It definitely did take some. Honestly, with teaching, I've never known anything like it. Some nights, Alex, I'm up till 1:30 in the morning. I'm not saying that's probably not a good thing, but I don't know why. It's just how it's happened. But you know what? I need more time to do more interviews with you and, you know, chat to you.
I feel sorry for your sixth formers who have to get up at midnight just to have one of your classes. I mean, what are they doing? Vampire school? What's going on there? 1:30?
No.
Yeah, planning. She may say no. You know, planning. Look outside, open the curtains now. It's dark out there, honestly. I mean, look where Jesse is. Complete darkness.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. Jessica, any questions you'd like to put to either Jesse or Chloe as we proceed? We've talked briefly about COP26. Who knows what's going to happen with respect to that, but it's over to you, Jessica. You might like to actually quiz Chloe on whether this song, Butterfly, is ideal for your mum to use as part of her gardening backdrop.
I do. I think it will be great for gardening. But I'm curious, since I'm seeing tons of Christmas decorations now here. So are you planning on doing Christmas music, or do you do Christmas covers and things like that? Is there going to be like a Chloe Christmas album?
Oh, you know, Jess, there could be, but I haven't actually written a Christmas song, and maybe that is the way. Maybe that's something I should do this year, but I will have a new song out in New Year as well, but not so much Christmassy. So maybe, like you said, you've given me the inspiration. I said it. That
coming for you in 22, new Chloe Rose numbers. Awesome. It's been an extraordinarily interesting link up, and tragically, Pamela Sue Mann, who was also keen to actually join us and also found, she suggested the song would do very well in Los Angeles for some reason. Anyway, Pamela is currently on a bus journey traveling from upstate New York to central New York. Don't worry, she'll be back in time for New York Real Talk, we hope. But Jessica, that makes you senior co-presenter. It does, you know, absolutely. Yeah, in terms of numbers alone, you've reached that stage. So it falls to you to throw those last two questions at Chloe Rose. Single, of course, Butterfly, out now, available. It was launched with a skyrocket on Bonfire Night has obviously sort of continued to permeate and percolate through consciousnesses, etc. Just out of interest, Chloe, 8.5 was one of the scores. 10 out of 10 was the other score. I wonder if you can tell who actually gave you the 8.5 and who gave you the 10. Interesting. Jessica, last two questions, please.
Yes, Chloe and Jesse, have you both had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us tonight?
It's been lovely, thank you.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it.
Will you both return, I think, is the message we're trying to get out there.
Definitely.
We thought we booked it a couple of weeks ago. We hadn't, and I mentioned something in the tutorial session. Did you actually get involved with the radio? Because she's keen to be a broadcast journalist. So obviously we're working through that whole process. And who knows, that'll continue ever onwards. Jessica, keep on keeping on. You'll be back, of course, for more New York Real Talk, plus, of course, the wonders of the author of the week, and indeed the return of Armin Shimerman from Star Trek Deep Space Nine, who's back with us on Friday. Chloe Rose, keep up with your excellent music. Let's look at getting you a much better connection next time, because, you know, it's not the same. You don't manage to deliver as sweetly and coherently as you used to when we have that sort of static routine. It's just part of the course, really. It's okay. We may go back to a studio on one of these days. And Jesse Perkins, keep on keeping on. What do you think, Jessica? Should we have another little airing for Butterfly?
I think so.
Chloe, would you like to introduce yourself singing this little number then? Over to you.
Yep. This is Butterfly.
Keep the faith, keep it real. Trust yourself and let it be. Only heaven knows. above the clouds, tell me what you say. Found a world unlike you've ever seen. Learn how to fly from the ground back to the sky. Though you've always had it all you ever need and more. Sweet lullaby, drifting slowly through the night. Waking up so you can see all the things that you could be. Like a butterfly, like a butterfly.
.4% is the increase in which EV or electric vehicle car sales have increased over the same period in 2020 when you compare January through July in 2021. But as you may have gathered, there are one or two issues that are still around, such as electronic charging points, such as specialist technicians, such as how the thing is going to work and all the rest of the bits and pieces. And certainly that all ties in with COP26 as well. So given the title of Global Transition to Zero Emission Transport over the next few years, who better to speak to when we're talking about electric vehicles than the product manager of Audi UK? That's the wonderful Johnny Byrne. How are you, Johnny?
Not bad, thank you. How are you?
Excellent. And I say you've got a spot-on surname just for this topic as well, so it's great stuff. It's really appropriate. But let's talk about the electric vehicle, because I'm sure that there are many folk, myself included, who are thinking, okay, we've had fuels spiking, rising in cost, spikes, more than spikes, basically continual upward trends. We're obviously wanting to have better green credentials and so on. So really, electric vehicles are coming into play, but there are still one or two issues, like what happens to the lithium batteries, what is dealing with respect to charging points, etc. So how are Audi UK effectively coping with some of these challenges?
Yeah, I think the electric vehicles have been around on the mass market longer than people will realize. So a lot of car brands, and especially Audi, have really advanced technology when it comes to battery technology, the recharging infrastructure, and the cost of these vehicles. So there's some really advanced technology there. And we've seen people recently, our research has shown that, you know, 32% of people want to make a purchase of an electric car as their next car. They want to be more environmentally aware, more sustainable, and basically help reduce their CO2 emissions. We know we're in a climate crisis, and driving an electric car is one easy and quick way to certainly do that.
I mean, we're 8.5 years or thereabouts away from the complete ban on the sale of new internal combustion vehicles. Do you feel that we're actually on target to ensure that as far as affordable electric vehicles are concerned? Because this is the other aspect that certainly a number of our listeners have actually sort of commented on, that actually you're looking at 40,000, 30,000. That's kind of beyond the range of the traditional car purchasing market, really.
Yeah, and it's a fair point, and it's our research also showed that cost was one aspect that was kind of maybe putting people off. But it's one of those myths and misconceptions we're trying to sort of bust around electric cars. You know, it's very, very rare somebody will walk into a dealership and pay £40,000-£50,000 for a car. 90% of the vehicles on the road are paid through monthly PCP schemes, where you pay a small deposit and you pay monthly. So that is a far more accessible way to get into an electric car, and they're obviously, they can often be cheaper than a comparable petrol or diesel, to the tune of about £4,000-£5,000, because of their relative simplicity. There are far fewer moving parts in electric cars. They are cheaper to run and to service because there is just fewer oily bits beneath the skin. So it is one of those myths that we're trying to bust, but people are becoming aware of that, and it's in a sort of education process as well. People will become aware of.
Now, clearly, the other point about electric cars is that they do need to be charged. And I'm sure that folk will be saying, I can't afford that on top of my electric bill at home. But actually having public charging points and fast chargers is something which I know Audi, together with Volkswagen, are working to ensure that you do increase the number of public fast chargers available.
Yeah, the Volkswagen group, of which Audi is a part of, has pledged £400 million into expanding the network of chargers across Europe and in the UK. So we have taken that upon ourselves to do it. We haven't been told to do it. It's part of the sort of environmental awareness that we think that's the right thing to do. But it needs to be backed up by government support as well. Car companies, Audi especially, has a lot of technology, a lot of know-how to make this work, but we need support from the government. It's a two-way relationship. We need that backup from those guys as well.
Early part of this month, of course, in fact, before then, the ultra-low emission zone was introduced in terms of London. Obviously, that's another issue with respect to congestion charges that is a key tick in the box of electric cars, because presumably they remain exempt from congestion charges.
Yeah, well, the obvious benefit of an electric car is at the tailpipes, they produce absolutely zero emissions. So they're far, far cleaner than petrol or diesel. They not only reduce air pollution, but also noise pollution, because they don't make any noise either. So it's kind of killing two birds with one stone there. There are obvious benefits to electric cars that people are quickly becoming aware of and want to make that switch.
Returning briefly, Johnny, to charging points, I see there are more than 42,000 charge point connectors across the UK in over 15,000 locations. Having said that, do you think that actually until the charging point becomes as familiar as seeing your average petrol station and basically is present on the forecourts within the stations, then there's still going to be an issue with respect to people saying, but where can I charge the car?
Yeah, again, it's one of those myths. There are 40, as you said, over 40,000 connectors in the UK. And if you compare that to petrol stations, of which there are fewer than 9,000, and that figure is going down while the electric charging connectors is going up, they're going in one direction only. So the government has pledged, I think it's over £1 billion up to 2030 to really expand those number of chargers. They've said they need between 280 and 480,000 charge points by 2030, by which point they will phase out the sales of petrol and diesel cars. So the government have pledged money and investment, but there isn't long till 2030. It will come far quicker than we realise. So they really have to get to work and boost those numbers quickly.
And indeed, looking to Audi specifically, I see at the end of 2022, which is of course next year, the Audi Q4 e-tron, fully electric, will become Audi's second biggest selling model in the UK behind the A3. And then a few years later, you're going to be launching your last ever internal combustion engine model, and you'll be focusing exclusively on EVs. So presumably that means no blended or indeed hybrid systems either.
No, you're right. Yeah. So from 2026, every new car we launch will be fully electric. So no hybrids, no plug-in hybrids, no petrol or diesel, just electric. And again, that's not because governments have told us to do that. It's something Audi's taken upon itself to do because of the climate crisis. We want to do everything we can to help that. So switching exclusively to electric cars is something we can do. We have the technical experience. We have decades and decades of history behind us and know-how. So we're the perfect people to certainly help accelerate that shift to net zero.
And Johnny, from your own experience of driving electric cars, can you recall the first time you actually got behind the wheel of one and what the experience was in comparison to obviously driving a traditional combustion engine?
Yeah, they are fantastic cars. I think we've certainly seen that as once you've driven one or once you've kind of had a test drive, very rarely will people make the switch back to petrol or diesel. They are far more relaxing cars to drive because they are so much quieter. They're far cheaper to run, which, you know, nobody doesn't. Everybody wants to be saving money, so that's an obvious benefit. And they're just a far more relaxing, engaging car to drive with. And it often becomes a bit of a game in terms of how little can you pay to recharge your car. Obviously, energy tariffs are all different, but it's almost a bit of a game to see how little you can pay to get a full battery. So it's quite interesting from that aspect as well.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about being too relaxed behind the wheel. I mean, after all, you still need to be very conscious of road traffic, road safety and other conditions. Having said that, it's interesting. I suppose it's another step along the way to the other line that probably is still being talked about, which is driverless vehicles. Is that something that Audi are looking to develop as well?
Yeah, absolutely. We're in a massive shift in the automotive industry. Electric cars is one of them. And then on the horizon is also autonomous vehicles. But again, it's one of those situations where the car companies, especially Audi, is far more advanced than legislation and governments will allow. We have the technology to already produce autonomous vehicles. But government legislation in different countries and in the UK doesn't really allow that to be used because of they consider it a safety concern, which is totally understandable. But the technology is there and it's continuing to be developed behind the scenes until governments can agree on when that can be sold and implemented on the roads.
Which brings us all the way back to COP26 and whether governments will agree with respect to that, but that's another issue entirely. Audi.co.uk, presumably the best place to go to find out some of the exciting details of new products and what Audi are actually doing as far as the EV market is concerned.
Yes, that's the place. And there's lots of useful tools on there, cost calculators, range calculators, finance calculators. So they're all really useful to help you make the right decision in terms of what electric cars is right for you. So definitely worth checking out.
Johnny Byrne, product manager of Audi UK. Happy driving.
Thanks a lot.
Well, it would seem that many of us want to actually get into investing. In fact, a recent survey by the Royal Mint suggests that over 3/4 of people are actually keen to get into investing, but another 3/4 lack knowledge. Basically, that's what's been holding them back. Equally, we seem to have a gender gap with only 1/4 of females saying that they regularly invest compared to over 1/2 of men. So let's actually talk a little bit more about this with our ace expert from the Royal Mint, of course, from indeed precious metals at the Royal Mint. It's the wonderful Karina Hicks. How are you, Karina?
Hi, Alex. I'm very well, thank you. And thanks for having me on the show.
Always a pleasure. Now, Karina, this is quite an interesting disparity in gender, because I was always taught that effectively women were much better at kind of shrewd investments and managing the housekeeping than their male counterparts.
Yeah, well, to be honest, Alex, it wasn't a major surprise for us at the Royal Mint. So we have a large database of customers who come to us to invest in precious metals. And for a number of years now, we've noticed the disparity and the bigger amount of males coming to us to invest as opposed to females. And we have a much smaller proportion of females. So that kind of instigated our decision to go out with this survey and to find out a little bit more and to see really whether this was an issue related to precious metals investing specifically, or whether it was a broader issue issue across the investing industry more generally. And of course, whilst we're not overly surprised to see the results, it is definitely disappointing in a way to see that not as many women are investing compared to those who would want to.
I mean, obviously, you've enlisted the help of that fantastic financial expert, Jasmine Birtles, to actually help with this. And of course, not-for-profit organization GAIN, G-A-I-N, to host a webinar that actually looks to support these things. I mean, is it just a case of actually that educational side of things, and it's a lack of knowledge that's holding people back?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I can definitely put myself in the shoes of those women who responded to that survey. Prior to joining the Royal Mint, actually, I was just considering my options when it comes to investing and saving. And I found it really difficult to access information about the different types of saving. It's hard to know who you can trust when it comes to that information too. And just knowing where to go was a major barrier. So we just wanted to collaborate with, you know, the brilliant team that you mentioned there, Jasmine, who is a very prolific and savvy media person when it comes to investing, and an expert in that area. And of course, GAIN, who are very passionate about providing women and girls with the information that they need to make investment decisions. So we've teamed up just to make it a little bit easier to find the information and the resources that people need so that they can be empowered to make those decisions for themselves. And hopefully this webinar that we're holding later this month will really support females in doing that.
Do you think possibly the use of language sometimes impacts people and maybe puts women off, the kind of notion that it's historically been seen as obviously bear markets, bull markets, and men basically buying, selling, buying, and obviously metals and so on and so forth? Is it literally just maybe we need to change some of the vocabulary?
Absolutely. And do you know what, actually, Alex, that was one of my major bugbears when I first came into the industry, was the number of acronyms and, as you say, kind of very specific jargon, if you like. It does put people off and it can be extremely overwhelming. So we've actually developed an academy now, a precious metals academy. So it is dedicated to precious metals investing, but it provides a whole host of guides, videos, quizzes, lots of interactive activities. And we've really tried to break it down and using that everyday language that you mentioned, which is absolutely vital so that people can get a real understanding and make those decisions for themselves.
In a world where clearly change seems to be almost happening on a daily basis with respect to, are we going to a cashless society? Are we going back to a sort of general bartering society? What are we actually doing within this? Do you feel as though it's always good to have a portfolio investments? And this is where precious metals can really actually help, again, assuming people understand the language.
Yeah, I mean, we just want people to be able to make those decisions for themselves and to have access to the information, the knowledge and the education to make those decisions. You know, once they've got all of that and they read through and they do their research, then of course it's up to them what they invest in. But we know that for many people, investing can have a really positive impact on people's futures. It can allow them to have a much brighter future. But unfortunately, they do feel overwhelmed and we just want to be able to help them by providing that information so that they can make those decisions for themselves.
So clearly it is an educational experience that needs to be developed and enhanced to ensure that we get a balance between the genders when it comes to investing and so on. Can you just remind us, Karina, where can people actually go to if they're listening to this to actually access the seminars, the webinars and so on?
Of course. So for those who are interested in finding out more about precious metals investing specifically, if you head over to the Royal Mint website, so just go to royalmint.com/get into gold. It's literally jam packed with resources and information for you to find out more. And then in relation to the webinar, again, if you head over to royalmint.com on our navigation, just hit the discover button and you'll see our upcoming webinars and you can register for that webinar. It's completely free. It's taking place on the 18th of November at 11 o'clock. So we'd love to see some of your listeners there.
Indeed, you can also identify that by saying it's 4 days after Prince Charles's birthday. But there we are, just yeah. a random piece of news there. But he is the Prince of Wales, so I thought I'd actually just throw it in from that point of view. Yeah. Karina, it's been a pleasure as ever. Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the programme today?
Thank you. It's been a pleasure too. Thanks for having me on, Alex.
Excellent. We look forward to hopefully featuring you again. Karina Hanks, precious metals at the Royal Mint. Expert extraordinaire. Take care and be well.
Thank you. Bye.
All I really want for Christmas is a flu vaccine. Certainly, that will actually help you, because prevention is always better than cure. And it certainly seems to be the case that actually a flu vaccine can actually help immeasurably. So to talk us through the importance of this, we're delighted to welcome Chief Pharmacist at Boots UK. That's a wonderful Mark Donovan. How are you, Mark?
Hi, Alex. I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. So let's talk about this particular aspect in terms of going back to Louis Pasteur and the whole vaccination process in the essence. You know, we've seen a lot of kind of, I think it's fair to say, pseudoscience being put forward over the years saying you don't want to be vaccinated and so on and so forth. Why is the flu vaccine such an important thing to really consider having in the next few weeks?
Well, you're right. There's lots of commentary about vaccination and its place, but it is very clear from the evidence that vaccination is the way to protect ourselves from viruses, whether that be COVID or indeed flu. And clearly, many people are receiving the COVID vaccines, and it's been part of the national narrative for so many months now, hasn't it? So people are getting used to having vaccines and the role that they play. And that's why we're talking about how important it is to people receiving their flu vaccine at the moment, because flu is a nasty virus and we need to be protected from it. And the best way to do that is to get vaccinated against it.
1 million flu jab appointments are still available at Boots ahead of flu season. That's a significant number that haven't been taken up as yet. I mean, surprising?
Well, we've had huge demand for this season. So we're running our biggest ever flu vaccination season on record. We're aiming to administer 3 times the number of vaccines between September this year and March next year, which is the end of the flu season, or likely end of the flu season, compared to last year. And we have seen demand extremely high already, but we're reminding people that people should be getting their flu vaccine if they haven't already. Perhaps they've forgotten, perhaps they've put it off, and to say that there are still more than, as you say, 1 million flu appointments available through our Boots pharmacies, either through your local pharmacy, or we have 100 of our pharmacies which have special hubs that are delivering flu vaccinations this year to meet this demand, which, like I say, is the biggest we've ever seen.
And let's just talk the listener through how the flu jab actually operates. I mean, I appreciate, obviously, we can go well into the biological underpinnings of the whole thing, but basically, as somebody who's obviously worked within pharmacies, has got that connectivity, just talk us through what the jab actually does and how it creates a defense for the body.
Yeah, of course. So the flu vaccine works by stimulating the immune system to respond to the virus by producing antibodies against the flu virus. So antibodies stay in the body so that if somebody is exposed to the flu virus naturally, the immune system then can recognize it, attack it, and prevent it from causing flu. As with any vaccination, you know, having the flu jab doesn't guarantee you won't get flu. But if you do, it's likely to be milder and not last as long. I think it's also really important to remember that flu vaccines don't work immediately. It typically takes about 10 to 14 days after having the flu jab for the body to develop enough antibodies to be able to manage the virus if you're exposed to it. So if we say that the flu season starts on the 1st of December, for example, which is the likely time that it starts, then people should be prepared to have their flu jab by the 17th of November to allow your body to build those antibodies up and then be protected for the start of the flu season. However, if you can't get it by the 17th of November, you know, people shouldn't worry about that. You still need to get vaccinated as early as possible because, like I said earlier, the flu season is likely to last as long as March next year.
I love the notion of viruses just waiting for the date in the calendar to actually click around and say, right, lads, 1st of December, we're off there. Let's attack them. Go for it. Yeah. And hopefully we're prepared. It's extraordinary. As you mentioned, it's the biggest rollout, of course, of flu vaccination ever, as far as Boots are actually concerned. I mean, clearly a bit of a logistics nightmare, or is it a case of no, we're Boots. We've obviously had this under control for a long time.
Well, interestingly, because we've been involved in COVID vaccines up until this point, we've administered over a million of those vaccines through our pharmacies. We've developed a new way of managing vaccines. So many people get their flu vaccine from Boots and other community pharmacies in previous years, and they'd be familiar with the process that they would have to go through. But we have these mass vaccination centres now in 100 of our pharmacies, which similarly to COVID, and many people would have experienced that sort of a process receiving their COVID jab or COVID booster. We're deploying the same approach with flu to get as many people protected, ready for the winter season.
And presumably boots.com/flu, F-L-U, the best place to go to find out further details and indeed to make that appointment to book a vaccine and book a vaccination session.
Yes, absolutely. So you can go on to boots.com. It's pretty easy to find out, and you'll be able to put your postcode in and find and select your nearest store and pharmacy and be able to book direct from the website.
Mark Donovan, Chief Pharmacist at Boots UK, huge thanks. Presumably you've had your own vaccine, or is it a case of no, I'm waiting till the rest of the people have done it?
Well, I have it booked. I haven't had it yet, but I'm making sure that I get it before the 17th of November.
Bye.